The scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, and it's from the Common English Bible. Listen for the word of God. While Jesus and his disciples were traveling, Jesus entered a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him as a guest. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the feet of Jesus and listened to his message. By contrast, Martha was preoccupied with getting everything ready for the meal. So Martha came to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to prepare the table all by myself? Tell her to help me." Jesus answered, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the better part. It won't be taken away from her." The word of God.
Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, for the spirit that is in this place and the spirit that continues to move and challenge us and comfort us, we ask, O God, that your spirit would be in this place to guide the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, so they're acceptable to you. We thank you for the opportunity to gather in this place and the privilege it is to be church in the world. We ask, O God, that you continue to open us up to the possibilities that lay ahead. We pray all this in the name of Christ, and all God's people say, Amen. Amen. All right, so my vacations are starting to end. We're starting to look forward to the future. The floors are done at the manse. We can start putting furniture down and know that we can leave it in the place that it is. Next week, all that kind of gets finished up, and we're hopefully moving in the week after next, the couple weeks to spare for Annie to start school. So kind of seeing this kind of future piece, which leads to like a couple of weeks of huge amounts of distractions and things that are going on in our world and living out of boxes. And even this morning, I was in San Francisco, and I forgot that I had packed all of my shirts and my shoes were at the manse. So I'm like, "Well, Robin, I'm just going to wear my slippers and a t-shirt while we're driving." So it's all good. It's all fun. Lots of good things happening here. This week, I will tell you, though, has been really distracting for me. There have been a lot of things going on in our lives, in the world. The first I'm going to share with you, our dog we had to put down this past week. Some of you have heard that. Those of you that have been tender with me this week, because all my family was gone, and this was unexpected, and so I had to be at the vet and be on the phone and video in the kids and all of these things going on this week, and fortunately, I held her at the end. But that's been a huge kind of thing going on in my just personal world, and then I've just been angry all week. Just because, we have to be careful about how we talk about politics in the church, right? I don't know if anybody's ever gonna, but I wasn't surprised by what our president said. That actually did not surprise me much at all. It did feel different and a step towards somewhere that the rage and grief was compounded. Like, there's something different about where we've moved in the conversations. And most of my anger was about the inaction of many people and the non-response of folks and the mental and intellectual gymnastics that we do in order to not name racism in the world. Right? That is probably one of the things that I was just so angry about. That, like, at what point do we name the thing? Because if we don't, right, we just allow it to become the norm. And we don't kid ourselves that our country hasn't had these things before, but it is taking place in a different way. So that's another thing there. And then you hear the news about the arson in Japan, and 34 people now have died. And all of this time, I'm thinking about this passage that we had, and about sometimes we need something to distract us from a lot of these things, to draw us away from the work and the things that we're doing. And I'll talk about ways that are not helpful, but for some ways, I need to find ways that can kind of, that are holy and healing for me. So this is what I do. So to find my holy and healing distractions, this is what I did. So if some of you don't, I titled this sermon Squirrel, some of you, because you know what this is from, right? It's from Up, and it's the golden retriever that has a collar on that so you can understand English, and he'd be in mid-sentence and go, squirrel, and just get distracted. So that's, people are like, why is there a squirrel on the sermon? Anyway, that's why. But for me, like, I know there's lots of different ways you all might find distraction. Some, you know, I don't know, you might be a water person to find distraction. That might be your thing. You go to the pool or you go to the ocean or you go wherever you're going to go. Others, you know, you're a mountain lake kind of person. Some of you may be like just a book. And my oldest child, we've soon realized that books were the way that they escaped the world, and so would just kind of sink into a book, and sometimes that's a good distraction. You may have an art or a craft or some hobby or something that you do. It might be music. You might be listening to these still. I don't know if you still have these somewhere. Here's what I do. I go to the movies. I learned early on in my pastoral world that if you don't take advantage of not having to be in an office from 9 to 5 every day, you're doing it wrong. Like, and so I take advantage of the flexibility of life that I get as a pastor. So I go see movies by myself all the time. And I'm just like, I'm going to go see a movie. So I went and saw Spider-Man. Excellent. If you're a Spider-Man fan, does not disappoint. I went and saw Yesterday. If you just need a movie that will just heal your heart for a little bit, and that was great. If you're a Beatles fan, it'll be great. I binge-watched Stranger Things. Some of you probably, I don't know, how many of you have watched season 3? Oh, yeah. See, where I'm outing everybody on what they do. And I may have started binge-watching Veronica Mars, the 4th season. Anyway, I won't share that one. What are your distractions? The world becomes a little overwhelming. What do you do? What are the things that you all do to kind of heal and give yourself hope in the midst of things going on, either personally or in the world? What are the things you do? Garden. All right. So getting your hands in the dirt and doing things. All right. Other things. Walk. And anywhere in particular or just get out? The Baylands. Okay. Yep.
Baseball.
Playing or watching? Watching, you know, live or on TV?
TV,
mostly. I still like listening to baseball on the radio. Like, there's something about listening to baseball on the radio. Yeah. What do other people do? Playing music. Yes. What do you play? Viola. All right. Camping. Yes, that's good. Others?
Biking.
Yeah. What else do people do to get to distract and find some space?
Clean.
You know, did everybody hear that? Clean. I do that too. I'm not going to come clean your all places for distraction, but there is something about, like, I love doing dishes. Like, there's something, when I used to travel so much, I think it was because it felt like I was home. Like, there was something grounding about doing the dishes. Again, not an offer at all to come to your places and do cleaning, but yes, cleaning. That's good. Yes, Susan.
Looking at a redwood tree.
Looking at a redwood tree. Just looking at it and, yep. Great. Any others? All right. So this passage that we hear today, Martha, Martha, you're worried and distracted. I highlighted that lie this one piece that I think we skip over a lot. One thing is necessary because we get to this place where Martha is the wrong one and Mary is the right one. And Martha is the one who Jesus is saying, you're not doing the right thing, but look at what your sister has done. How many of you are older children, oldest children? Yeah? I'm totally with Martha. Because I'm like, if I don't, like, don't go slacking off. There's things to do. Like, what is this about? This is just an excuse for you not to do work. I mean, that I've always identified with Martha. Let's get these things done. And then I have, you know, people like, just be, you just gotta chill out, you just gotta whatever, and I'm like, ah. Because I think that's the common and almost the easiest interpretation of this scripture. This Martha versus Mary battle. That we are kind of in this idea that you're either a doer or you're a beer, and that these two things look a particular way. And it often comes up when we don't like what somebody else is doing. If we don't like the way somebody is being active and doing too much, we'll kind of critique that and say, gosh, you need to focus and discern and slow down. And if we think somebody is too slow and not moving fast enough, we're like, come on, let's get going. And I think we get caught in this dichotomy that actually doesn't honor the breadth of what it really means for this passage. We get into this idea of it's you're either distracted or you're focused, I think it begins to kind of not give us this real healthy sense of the combination and the interaction between being and doing. This one thing is necessary is what kept popping out at me as I was reading this passage over and over again. Because for me, it is not about the slowing down, but it is about Mary being at the feet of Christ. That the central piece of what we pull out of this is that whatever we're doing, we have to do so knowing that we are either metaphorically or actually sitting at the feet of Christ in a way that we know this is where we're supposed to be. So it's not really in the what we do, but it's in how are we focused and what brings us to that space. Because that's where I think we get the distractions that aren't healthy is when we're distracted not by the calling of Christ into some kind of being, but we're distracted by so many other things in the world that pull us away, right? Martha's distraction, if we want to critique Martha, the distraction is for getting pulled away from being with Christ, to being in that space of discernment and reflection. But that doesn't just have to be about doing stuff. That's going to be about anything, that we get distracted from so many things. That there's more than one way to sit at the feet of Christ, to be with Christ. Some of us, it is about sitting. And sometimes we're going to need to stand up and march. Sometimes some of us are teachers, we're healers, we're all these kinds of things. And they can all be an understanding of what it means to be Mary at the feet of Christ. When I'm doing my best work, or when you're doing your best work, or more faithful work, you know that at some part of your spirit, like this, I am, Christ is with us in what we are doing. And we don't have this separation between this kind of spiritual, sitting, silent piece and then the active piece, that actually both and can exist at the same time if they're all focused on Christ. You've heard me talk about this. You're going to hear me talk about this more as we plan for the future, how I visualize Christ in our world and how I honor the ways in which people are faithful in the world. John Calvin talks about prophet, priest, and king, but many of us have switched to pastor, and then many of us have added poet, to think about the ways in which we engage in the world. That we can't all be prophets, we can't all be priests, we can't all be pastors, we can't all be poets, but together we can be all of those things, and I may need to slide into one sometimes more than another, and that those are the ways that we engage in the world. So, keeping that in mind, there are things that we are distracted by, knowing there's multiple ways in which we engage in the world. I'm going to talk a little bit about the distractions that I know I have and I think we see in the world a lot. The first one is the distraction of one way or my way. I don't know how many times I've been in meetings and we want to get to a certain goal and there's somebody that says the way we do it is to do it this way. And some of us may think, well, there are other ways to get to the same place, but sometimes we get so caught up in the only way to do it is the way that I know and love and want to do it, to the detriment of the other possibilities. I think about movements for justice. Think about all of the ways in which we engage in trying to make the world a more just place. That it is not just about the protests. It's not just about sitting in offices of our politicians. It's not just about being on the front lines. It's about all of those things. And the more we honor those things, the better. But when we get distracted by thinking that the only way we can address this thing is this way, which is often my way, then we get distracted away from the possibilities, and we sit at the feet of ourselves rather than the feet of Christ. So for me, one of the distractions that I know I have to constantly fight is, I know the best way to go. Now, one track is, this is leadership, and we help to set vision, and then there's the, I just like this way better. Right? And those are hard sometimes, and I think all of us have to figure out when it's just like, I just want to do it this way, versus this is the way I'm being called to lead. And that line is so fuzzy sometimes, but it can be a distraction from what we're supposed to do. The distraction of saviorism, for you old school Superman people, Christopher Reeve. This is a classic for leaders, I think. If I create a dumpster fire and I know that I have the water to put it out, I'm going to go ahead and create it, and then I can come in and save the day. There is a distraction of creating chaos so that we don't focus on what's important, so that we get drawn this way so that we're not focused on where Christ is leading us. I don't have to draw many lines to see how that's happening in our world today, right? To how do we not do that? Because this is not just about left or right. This is about, I think, many of us in leadership have do that, because when things get hard, we want to find those spaces where we can feel like we're doing something and we're serving and people want to like us and all those kind of things. So you create these situations where you can come in and feel like you've saved the day, and everybody's like, wow, such a great job. But actually, that distraction never needed to happen. And so that distraction of saviorism, I think, is really important for us to avoid. The distraction of insignificance. I think sometimes it feels like what we do will make no difference. And it feels like sometimes the small things we do, and intellectually we know that that's not true, that we know that the more and more we work together and we do things, little moments of peace create large-scale justice changes. But there is sometimes this idea that it becomes so overwhelming that we just don't want to do anymore. Or we feel like these little things aren't getting us any further. And I think that is the way that insidious nature of injustice works, is that it continues to be there and reminds ourselves that it's there all the time, even when we make these little strides. It says to us, that little thing you just did, the evil is still around. And so it's trying to get us to no longer want to keep picking those steps. But yet that's what we have to keep doing. The last thing, second to last thing, is the distractive avoidance. This is a really interesting one, because I think nobody really likes conflict. I mean, some of you may enjoy conflict, but nobody really wants to deal with it head on. I mean, I think the number of times that I've said about people, well, that's just how so-and-so is, right? Is a classic conflict avoidance to let behavior stand that we probably should call people on. I think sometimes we have to avoid avoiding conflict because it distracts us from actually getting somewhere. So here's a great example, and I'm not saying it's anybody in this church, but as I've worked with churches over the years, there's always the one person, and again, this is not this church, so please don't hear it, where I'll meet with the church council and they say, oh, anybody should greet except so-and-so. We don't want this person greeting new people at the door because they'll say this or say this or say this. And I'm like, well, have you ever talked to this person about their behavior? And like, no, that's just the way so-and-so is. I'm like, well, that is a huge distraction, right? Because we are actually all called. I never want to get to the point where we have a list of people that should not greet new people at the door. Now, it is not all of our gifts to be the person that kind of walks somebody through all the way to, you know, that's not, but I don't, like, if any of you misbehave or say something inappropriate, like, I'm going to come up and say, hey, just so you know, this might not be the most, like, I think we address those things right on. Otherwise, we're no longer a safe, welcoming place that folks experience Christ. And so avoiding that conflict can often be destructive. Here's my last one. So I was on vacation for a month, and that was planned well ahead of time. We're big soccer people. We make our big vacation around the World Cup. I have no delusions that that is not a huge place of privilege. Like, every time my kids complained about something on this trip, when it made sense and it wasn't going to create a lot of havoc, I was like, oh, poor you. You're in France. Like, sitting in this Airbnb on this hill, and you have to walk to the bakery to get your baguette this morning. I feel so sorry for you. Now, I didn't do that every time, because, you know, those of you that know parents, or you've been, you know, children of parents, sometimes those go over well, and everybody's like, yeah, that's true, and sometimes it's like, okay, now the rest of the day is shot. But I do think one of the dangers is that we step into that privileged space and we call it self-care, or we call it whatever we, to justify why we do it. Like, I can justify till the cows come home about why in 2023 we're probably going to do it again, right? Why that is all makes sense and healthy and healing and all that. But I think there is a line sometimes where the privilege begins to be a distraction for us. And we turn self-care into a way to avoid discomfort or the sharing of resources or other things. And that is a huge challenge. I know that we question ourselves, and I think we as a church and community must always question. If it doesn't create some kind of tension, then I think we've stepped into a space that's very dangerous. And so that distraction of privilege is one that I think we have to continually think about. Well, so here's the thing. As we move forward, as you think about the ways that you're going to be in the world, you notice I didn't say, here's how you should be in the world. It should always be focused about, is Christ in the midst of that? Is it a drawing and a beckoning towards the Christ who calls us to be in the world? Or is it some other thing that we think is just distracting us away from it, that it's moving us away from who Christ wants us to be? I have to always remind myself and think, when I want to do something or try something, who is calling me towards that? Is it my own ego? Is it this thing over here, this thing? Or is it Jesus saying, this is where you are being called to go? And that's when I embrace Mary. The Mary who says to us, no matter what we're doing, move to that space where we sit at the feet of Christ. It's going to look different for each and every one of us. It's not just about the being or the doing, but it's about where we are and who to whom we belong and are called. If we can keep that focus, if we can always remind ourselves as we're planning and thinking and acting in the world, that we're focused and we're brought together by this common understanding that Jesus has brought us to this space, then whatever we do, in whatever committee or working group or individually or as a community, whatever we do, it becomes holy work. And it becomes the work that I think God smiles upon and blesses and says that we are doing what we should be doing. That's the exciting thing about being a person of faith in the world today, is that Jesus continually calls us to his feet. The question for us is, will we answer? Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, for the Spirit that is in this place, the Spirit that has been in this place, has prompted and prodded, has cared for, has challenged, we give you thanks. May that Spirit continue to move us into who you hope us to be and to what you hope us to do, so that we may continually be your faithful people. We thank you for those who are here, for those who are unable to be with us today, and for those who have yet to step foot into this space and to know us as a community. We pray all of this in the name of Christ, and all God's people say, Amen. Amen.